Good morning. It's 18 minutes after 8 o'clock. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. And in the background, Amy, this is a little humpback whale, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is, it's interesting to have sound effects when I interview an author. But your book, The Salmon in the Trees, comes with an audio disc, right?
Yes. It comes with an audio that Sitka and Richard Nelson recorded.
All right. Yeah. Yeah, now I think it's growling sea lions in the background, too. Anyway, he's got, I don't know, multiple... It's an audio montage of Southeast Alaska, and Richard Nelson sort of leads us through it. But this is just an example of the depth of this book. Amy Gulick is the author and photographer who has produced Salmon in the Trees. And she'll be speaking tonight at Sitka National Historical Park, 7 o'clock. There'll be free dessert, and you'll be signing books. And you've got a photography exhibit going in there at the Visitor Center as well?
Yes, yes. The exhibit is part of the International Year of Forests.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's probably no better place in the world to celebrate forests than the Tongass itself.
Yeah, this book has been, you've been working on it for quite a while, right?
Yes, yes. I started the book in 2007, and it was actually published about a year ago, about this time.
Okay. Tell me how you got the idea, because you don't live in Southeast, but you read an article and you kind of had a little flash of inspiration.
Yes. As a nature photographer and writer, I'm always on the lookout for interesting stories. And a while back, I read an article somewhere, I think it was in a scientific magazine, kind of dry article, and it was talking about this remarkable connection between the salmon and trees here in Southeast Alaska. And it was such a bizarre and unexpected concept to me that I had to come here, I had to photograph it, and I had to tell this unique story. So when I got here, it was very obvious that this is a place where the forest and the sea are so intertwined that you really can't separate the two. And probably no other species relies more on both the forest and the sea than salmon do. So salmon bring the ocean nutrients with them in their bodies into their spawning streams. All the bears here then pluck them from the streams and deliver them to the forest floor. And then the trees absorb these nutrients through their roots. And scientists have actually been able to trace a particular form of marine nitrogen in trees near salmon streams that they can link back to the fish. So that's how salmon end up in the trees, and that's why I titled the book what I did.
Does everybody react like me and kind of go, oh, I get it, right?
They do. It's amazing. Again, for me, when I read that very dry scientific article, I just came away astounded. It's like, what do you mean there's salmon in the trees? You know, how can that possibly be? But the more that you get into this, or the more that I got into it, and the more that I saw it and spent time here and documented and talked to scientists and talked to fishermen and, you know, talked to people who live here, It still is one of those kind of aha moments, I think, even for a lot of people who live here. Mm-hmm. But as soon as you explain it, people kind of say, oh, well, duh. But it's not something that we intuitively think about. And so I always like to say it's an unexpected and yet perfectly natural connection. But I think sometimes it just takes pointing it out to people
for
us to understand it.
And you explained it to guys like... Richard Nelson and Ray Troll and John Straley and Gordon Chu and Tenneke, Carl Jordan, a fisherman here in Sitka. And you got a bunch of people to sort of contribute material to the book. And I guess that's what it would be, that the narrative is sort of contained in sort of a series of essays, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's very important for me that there were multiple voices telling the story of this incredible place. Here, not only in the Tongass, but within the communities of Southeast Alaska. I didn't want to be the only voice. I just didn't think that was going to do this place justice. And so, I wanted a diversity, you know, so to have, you know, to have Ray Troll's illustrations and John Straley's, you know, incredible writing, and Richard Karstensen is a naturalist in Juneau. Lots of local voices here. And then I just wanted everyday people who live in Southeast and make a living here doing a diversity of things. I wanted them to be portrayed and celebrated as well. And A lot of people ask me, you know, well, wasn't it hard getting, you know, people like Ray Troll and Richard Nelson and, you know, kind of little more well-known people involved? Carl Safina, who's a nationally known marine biologist, Doug Chadwick as well, does a lot of writing for National Geographic. You know, he said, well, how did you get these? Did you have to pay them gobs of money? And, you know, of course, you know, I don't, there isn't gobs of money involved in making a book like this. So I didn't have that to entice them. But I have to say, this place sells itself. People who know it, or even people who don't know it, all they have to do is read a little bit about it, and everybody signed on instantly. They were like, of course, you know, of course they'll. Not only the people who live here, of course, wanted to celebrate their home, but then people outside here who just know that Southeast Alaska, there's no other place like it in the world.
Yeah, I picture you getting a hold of some of these folks on the telephone and just explaining the idea, and then them responding, well, when do you want it?
That's exactly how it happened. The first person I approached was Carl Safina, and I didn't know him. I just knew several of his books. I think are just some of my favorite books in the world. He wrote The Eye of the Albatross, Song for the Blue Ocean, Voyage of the Turtle. He's always writing, you know, about amazing things ocean related. And I just wrote him a letter, and he responded right away and basically said, "When do you want me to come?"
Yeah.
And I had the honor of spending 2 weeks on a boat with him because I needed to get to kind of some more remote areas. And, you know, logistically, getting around in Southeast can be quite challenging. And so it just worked out that he came with me for those 2 weeks. And every day, and this is a man who has traveled around the world to both poles, I think all seven seas, seen amazing things. Every day he would come up, you know, onto the boat deck and look me in the eye and genuinely say, this place is amazing.
Yeah. Preaching to the choir here, yeah. Amy. I agree.
I keep saying that to myself. I mean, you know, I just came back into town a couple days ago to install my exhibit at the park. And I step off the plane, you know, from Seattle. I live down in Washington. Step off the plane. In half an hour, I'm out at the park, standing on the shore, watching the herring fishery go on. Mm-hmm. And you know, millions of eagles and ravens and gulls and whales and sea lions. And I mean, this place just never ceases to amaze me.
I want to talk about people just for a little bit, Amy. One of the sections in your book is authored by Rosita Worrell, mm-hmm. an anthropologist. She also works at the Sea Alaska Heritage Foundation. People are an important part of this book. I think that's one thing that separates it from kind of your typical coffee table book where you have these gorgeous landscapes. There's pictures in a lot of your people in a lot of your pictures, and a lot of your pictures are just of the people of Southeast Alaska, the indigenous cultures here and some of the more recent folks. That's kind of, did you have to tell me about developing that idea?
Yeah, well, it quickly became clear to me after, 5 minutes of being in Southeast Alaska that people are an absolutely critical part of this place. And I think so often, and I think you hit it on the head, right? A lot of these coffee table books that are celebrating kind of a wild place, the impression that you get after looking at them is that, you know, these places are places where people don't live, and maybe people just visit, but people and nature are separate and never shall the two meet. And that is just so not the case here in Southeast Alaska. You know, the Tongass National Forest, it isn't a place that people in Southeast go visit. It's a place where you all live. And not only you live and you recreate, but many people make a living off of it. What I absolutely love about the lifestyle here in Southeast is that you don't live by the clock here. You live by the seasons. And your seasons are defined by very delicious things like salmon and berries and deer. And everywhere I went, and I spent a lot of time traveling throughout many of the communities in Southeast Alaska, everybody has, you know, salmon in their freezer, or they're smoking salmon, or they're smoking crab, or they're gathering berries or mushrooms, or you know, getting ready for a deer hunt or something like that. And what I absolutely loved about all of that was how closely people live here to the land and to the sea, and how generous people are with sharing food, and what an incredible community that builds, you know, living so close to your food source, and either, you know, you yourself are out harvesting the food, or your neighbor is, or someone's making a living doing it in your community, and that's supporting all of you. And it's an incredible way to live, and it's how many of us probably hundreds of years ago used to live. But so many of us don't live that way anymore. We have no idea where our food comes from. So how can you build a community around going to a grocery store where your food comes from 2,000 miles away? So again, I guess, you know, getting back to your question, to me, people are an absolutely critical part of Southeast Alaska. And it would just, to me, it'd be a disservice not to include them in the book.
All right. Well, my stomach is growling just listening to you talk. It does remind me of Richard Nelson has this line he likes to use, that the potato chip is an agent of forgetfulness. So anyway, if you know, you obviously know Nels, you can probably easily picture that coming out of his brain. Anyway, Amy Gulick is an author and photographer from North Bend, Washington. She's published recently this beautiful book called Salmon in the Trees. You're putting your photographs up in Sitka National Historical Park Visitor Center today. The exhibit will be up through April 29th, but you'll be giving a presentation tonight at 7 o'clock. There'll be free dessert at the park. And I guess you have to figure out what you're going to do with your time between now and then.
And I'm going to just be astounded yet again by all the incredible life here.
All right. Thanks for coming in, Amy.
Thank you.